listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we're going to be discussing the Apostle Peter and his life. From the books of the Gospels to the book of Acts and the books of Peter, we can see a great change in Peter's life. He's a more patient person because of what he's been through. Now, he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter, which was around 64 A.D., and was put to death sometime after that. He does deal with doctrine and weighty subjects: foreknowledge, sanctification, obedience, the blood, and the Trinity. He used some of these words several times in his writings. He talks about revelation, which he used 5 times, and he talks about glory, which he referred to 16 times in these books. Suffering is mentioned 16 times. He ties the word hope to the suffering. He refers to faith 5 times and hope 4 times. Peter's been called the Apostle of Hope, while Paul was called the Apostle of Faith, and John the Beloved was called the Apostle of Love. The resurrection of Jesus had occurred some 30 years earlier when Peter wrote these books, so he had spent many years preaching the gospel to the world, as Jesus had told the disciples to do. He had gone through much suffering along the way. So we wonder how much Peter had learned during this time. We'll see if he's still preaching the same message in 1st and 2nd Peter. Now, when he walked with Jesus, he was forever sticking his foot in his mouth. He was a leader among the disciples, and he led the way in their endeavors. And he was right by Jesus' side up until the end when he denied him. But he was the leader. And Jesus had special instructions for Peter. He asked him, "Do you love me, Peter?" And he said, "Yes." He asked him again, "Do you love me, Peter?" He said, "Yes." "Well, feed my sheep," he said. 3 times the Lord asked him, did he love him? And 3 times he told him to feed my sheep. And so that's what Peter is doing. He is preaching the gospel. Some believe that the Apostle Peter was given special treatment by Jesus over the other apostles. They believe that Jesus gave him authority over them and appointed him as the first pope. But those claims are not backed up by Scripture. They use the incident where Jesus asked all of the apostles who they thought Jesus was. And some mention he was a prophet, a great leader, a great man. But only Peter said that he was the Son of God. And Jesus said, "My Father has revealed that to you, Peter. It wasn't of yourself. It was given to you by my Father." And he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He was not talking about Peter as being the first pope. He was talking about his statement that was given to him by his Father, that he was the Son of God. That's what his church is built upon. Jesus gives evidence that he did not show favoritism, even though Peter, James, and John were in that very inner circle with Jesus, because he could rely upon them for the most part, and because of their personalities. Now, Jesus was related to James and John. They were the sons of Salome and John Zebedee. Salome was Mary, the mother of Jesus' sister. And she was among Mary and Mary Magdalene and another Mary who was the mother of James the Less and Joseph. There were four women at the crucifixion, and it names in one scripture a woman who was the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. It doesn't mention her name, but in other scriptures, she's identified as Salome. She is the mother of the apostles James and John, who were called the sons of Zebedee. Salome was married to John Zebedee. So she's the aunt of Jesus, and she asked him in Matthew 20:21 to grant that her two sons, James and John Zebedee, would sit one on the right hand and one on the left in Jesus' kingdom. And Jesus told his aunt Salome, "It's not mine to give you, it's the Father's." Now, if you just read that account, you would think, well, this woman is very presumptuous to ask Jesus that, until you realize that she was the aunt of Jesus. But the family relationship that he had with James and John did not give them special treatment. They were martyred the same as the rest of them, except for John the Revelator. When Jesus was on the mountain apart from the crowd, he would take James, John, and Peter with him. That's recorded in Matthew 17:1-9. They were also with him when he was transfigured, when the Lord shone upon him and his face did shine as the sun and his raiment was white as the light. And in Mark 5:37, it says that Jesus wouldn't let anyone follow him except James and John. So Jesus was close to his two cousins, but he didn't give them special treatment or favors. Jesus had a brother named James. He was not an apostle of the 12, but he was an apostle, and he wrote the book of James. Also, Jesus had a brother named Judas. He wrote the book of Jude. The book of Jude is not called the book of Judas because of Judas Iscariot, presumably. But he was the brother of Jesus who believed in him as the Messiah. So these relatives grew up with Jesus, and they accepted him as their Messiah, and even as their own personal Savior, which gives us testimony that Jesus lived a sinless life. There are many believers that are children of God today because of godly relatives who pointed them to the Christ. So a godly relative is a blessing indeed. Peter was not a relative of Jesus. He was the brother of Andrew, one of the other apostles. But Jesus did have special compassion for Peter because of his impetuous nature. He told Mary Magdalene at the tomb immediately after his resurrection to tell Peter and the other disciples to meet him later in Galilee. He made special mention of Peter, because Peter at this time would have felt so unworthy to face Jesus after denying him, that Jesus told Mary, tell him to show up at the meeting. It's also recorded in 1 Corinthians 15:5 that Peter was the first disciple that Jesus appeared to before he appeared to the rest of them. He wanted to give special comfort to Peter because of his deep regret that Peter had felt over his betrayal of him at the trial. Peter is the one who wanted to walk on water and did walk on water, but fell soon thereafter, and Jesus had to rescue him on the Sea of Galilee. The other disciples were there, but they didn't venture out to walk on the water as Peter did. He was the one who suggested that they put up 3 temples to honor Jesus and Moses and Elijah in the transfiguration of Jesus. He was the one who ran to the tomb of Jesus to see for himself if Jesus was still in the tomb or if he had resurrected. He's the one who went inside the tomb to check it out, even though the younger apostle, John, had outrun him to the tomb. John got there first, but he didn't go inside. But it was Peter who went in the tomb and investigated. It was Peter who was brave enough to enter the empty tomb. He was impulsive. He was energetic. He was a hands-on apostle. If there was a job to be done, Peter was the one to get it done. If we compared ourselves to the Apostle Peter, we'd have to ask how brave we are. Are we ready to face an empty tomb and realize that Jesus is who he said he was, the Son of God? Are we ready to accept a risen Christ for salvation? Are we ready to go through persecution as Peter had done and remained faithful? When he was crucified, he begged them to let him be crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified the same way his Lord had. Peter's message was about the basics of salvation, the deity of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, how to be saved, about being justified before God, about sanctification, and living a godly life as evidence of being born again. And he spoke about the things of the new covenant. Now, 1 and 2 Peter are the only 2 books that Peter wrote. Some dispute that he wrote these books, but if we look at his preaching in Acts and compare it to what is written in Peter, we can see that he's talking about the same things. The ministry of Peter is recorded in the first 10 chapters of Acts. He tells the people that the Messiah was foretold by the prophets and that they desired to know about the Messiah, but were not able to comprehend that Jesus was the Son of God and that he would die for the sins of the people. He tells the people that it was the last days. He believed that Jesus would come back in his lifetime, and he admonished them to hold on, to have hope, and to persevere. He preached in Jerusalem about the death and resurrection of Jesus, and he even points his finger as to say who was to blame for the death of Jesus. He said, "All are guilty, Jews and Gentiles." He also spoke about Jesus sitting at the right hand of God and about the second coming of Jesus, about being saved by faith. In Acts, he preached the simple gospel, saved by grace, being born again, and forgiveness of sins. In 1 Peter, he speaks of the same things when he mentions justification, sanctification, separation, tried as gold, being born again. We want to read you some of the scriptures that Peter preached in the book of Acts. In Acts 4:8-12, Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. He preached Jesus, and he said it is the day of the Messiah. In Acts 10:34-43, he preached to the Gentiles the good news. And in verse 34 of chapter 10, he says that God shows no favoritism between the Jews and the Gentiles. And the good news is that there is peace and reconciliation between God and man through Jesus. Let's read some of the scriptures. Right after the day of Pentecost, Peter was preaching in Acts 2:14-16. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this." He was talking about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the people speaking in tongues to the people that were gathered there in their own native language. He said, "Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you suppose. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel." And he quotes the Old Testament to them. In Acts 3:12-26, a crippled man was healed, and Peter is telling the crowd. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, "what is so surprising about this?" Talking about the healing of the cripple. "And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact." Pretty powerful message that Peter's preaching there. He says in verse 16 of Acts 3, "Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes." He says in verse 17, "Friends, I realize that what you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. But God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. Now repent of your sins and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. For he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you.' Then Moses said, 'Anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from God's people.'" Now Moses called Jesus a prophet. He couldn't comprehend that he was the Son of God. In verse 24, he said, "Starting with Samuel, every prophet spoke about what's happening today. You are the children of those prophets, and you are included in the covenant God promised to your ancestors. For God said to Abraham, 'Through your descendants, all the families on earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him first to you people of Israel to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways." In Acts 4:8-12, he preaches, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the Scriptures, where it says, "The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone." There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Then in Acts 10:14-43, he doesn't leave the Gentiles out. Peter says, "I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for all the people of Israel, that there's peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." He says in verse 43 that Jesus is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. In Acts 2:20-31, Peter talks to them about the soon coming judgment of God upon the earth because of the disobedience. He talks about the last days. He also talks about Jesus being at the right hand of God in Acts 2:22-26. He quotes the Old Testament. He also mentions it again in 1 Peter. He calls for the people to repent of their sins in Acts. The Apostle Peter was given great power in the Holy Ghost. There were many people who were healed. And it is said that even his shadow, when he walked by, people would be healed. God was with Peter and anointed him in a great way. He was always witnessing for the Lord, even when the beggar came up to him on the steps of the temple begging for money. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee." He gave them more than gold, didn't he? He gave them the gospel message. Peter talks a lot about hope, about being tried by fire as gold is tried, that we would come forth as gold by the trials of our faith. He preached faith, but he also preached works. But only through the Holy Ghost. He was preaching the fruit of the Spirit. That's the works that God's looking for. The righteousness that is of the Holy Ghost is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. All these things are given to us through the Holy Spirit when we are relying in faith upon the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In these two books of 1 and 2 Peter, we don't find any church government preached about. He didn't talk about rules and regulations of the church or problems of the church as Paul had addressed in Corinthians. He didn't talk about specifics. He wasn't concerned about the everyday cares of life except to commit them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave as his solution, seeking the Lord and walking in faith. His message is a simple message, the one we need today. 1 and 2 Peter is not like the books that the Apostle Paul wrote. Paul wrote about problems of the church, government of the church, about his missionary journeys. He did write about suffering and persecution, But he gave more specifics and more examples than Peter has given in these books. Peter is preaching a simple gospel. He's not trying to establish churches. He's not trying to zero in on doctrine except the basic doctrines. That's what makes this book so relevant for today. Because in today's world, there are many doctrines and many faiths, and some have left the foundation of the gospel in Christ, the death and resurrection of Christ, in the virgin-born Savior, in the Son of God as our Savior. Many have left that foundation and have heaped themselves up doctrines that hold no water, that is concerned with do's and don'ts and with conduct of cults and different things. So Peter had a focused vision. He kept it simple. And that's why he's such an amazing apostle. There's no other like the Apostle Peter. I wish he had written more books. But he had one simple message, and that was the gospel message of saved by grace and being victorious in Jesus Christ. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, how grateful that we are for the apostles who didn't give up, who became bold, who were formerly hidden in upper rooms. But now, Father, the message has gone out, and we believe it, that you sent your Son. And we pray, Father, that you would forgive our sins. We repent of them, Lord. And we ask you, Father, to give us the Holy Spirit, that we may be found worthy before you. For only you can make us worthy, because only you have overcome. Help us, Heavenly Father. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word. It's a heavenly place, and He's laying